Welcome, everyone, to the September 19th Plan and Zone Commission meeting. We'll begin with the roll call.
Hart?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Ormsby?
Here.
Peters? Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Okay, I believe you've all been provided with a copy of the minutes from the August 15th meeting. Do we have a motion for approval?
Madam Chairwoman, I move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're good. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Committee meeting. We are here tonight to review a few cases before us for rezoning, some site development plans. If you have a comment you'd like to make, it's helpful if you can move to the podium at the back of the room. It just helps us pick up the sound, and if you can identify yourself and your interest in the case, we would appreciate that. So our first item is case 18073. Greg, can you give us the staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Chairwoman, the item we're looking at tonight, we've got lot 3 of the Utica Hills Point subdivision that is under consideration. It should be C6 to C2. Is the zoning class that we're going for here for this parcel. This has already been platted, Utica Hills Point subdivision. And you see again in the purple the outline of the lot of record under consideration. This is the concept showing the quick trip facility and then pumps in the area as well around here. And then the means of private drive entry into the site. The urban medium intensity land use designation is in play here, and that would facilitate a rezoning from C6 to C2. Staff in reviewing this report would also indicate that I believe point number 3, condition 3, has been addressed to staff satisfaction, so that is no longer being considered as a point in the passage or a recommendation for passage or of recommending the rezoning from C6 to C2. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any other information from staff that you'd like to add before
I'd simply add the parking that, at least from your vantage point, would appear to be in the rear. All of the parking in that area that you can see the dotted line is within the required setback, received a variance months before any of this came before us. So the concept plan is something that is consistent with what was approved by the Board of Adjustment as well.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? No, it's pretty easy.
Well, of course, Madam Chairman, I always have to say something.
I'm glad.
I agree with the move from C6 to C2. I think that makes sense. The question I have is, I don't remember what we approved for the zoning for the hotel. Is that C6? Okay. So my question then would be, if the rest of the development up there would go to C2, would we have an issue with that? Be looking at the uses that can be placed in a C2.
It would depend on what other uses may come into play. If they fit in C6, we don't want to recommend doing something that would, you know, facilitate any other zoning. We don't know at this time what might be occurring there or anywhere else.
My problem with this is that we've kind of, by making this C2, we've kind of changed the ability to call the rest of it C6. I mean, if you read what C6 is, it's supposed to be large areas, open, a lot of landscaping, park-like, you know. And now we've got a development with a hotel on it. Right next to it, we've got a gas station, convenience store. We got another smaller lot up above it. to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for this to remain C6. And so my question, my point is that this is going to be C2. Now we've got even more pressure to make the rest of it C2. So what does that do in the future when the next guy comes in and he wants to put something in there that isn't really going to agree with the C6, but it will agree with the C2? Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. But
so that's my question is, does this make sense from the overall area? Because really, we should be looking from that in the zone rather than having each lot something different.
Well, they do have the right to petition this body and ask for those changes, and it fits the land use that's already on the land use map. So, I mean, they've got that option to ask for that. I mean, it doesn't corrupt any of the other lots. It doesn't put them in a position where, you know, the lot sizes met the C6 qualifications to begin with. So, I mean, we're not putting something in a jeopardy-type position from that standpoint. It's just that maybe, like you said, the landscaping would probably be different. That would be the only change from, you know, the C2 to the C6. And the use here being what it is a convenience store. I don't know if in the old ordinance that was in there or not under C6 or something similar to it, but I don't know that it was per se a convenience store, but there are other intense uses that were in C6 that are similar to what's in C2. So I don't know that we're really doing anything here, given the nature of what's around here and how close this is to a major intersection.
Yeah. It's kind of where I'm at is, are we on a slippery slope here? You know, because if you look farther to the north there, you do have a C6 type of environment. And I'd hate to jeopardize those properties by just continuing to piecemeal smaller usages down at this level. Like I said, I don't have a problem with C2. And again, I try to look at this from the standpoint of what could go in there, not what's in front of us, because that's really what we're asked to do right here. So I'm okay with the C2. It's just I'm worried about the future. That's all I really wanted to explain.
May I just a little additional background too is, you know, this development was subject to a development agreement that the city entered with Russell or a CDC QC, a subsidiary of Russell, and so this was contemplated at the beginning that they had the right to rezone certain aspects of this property. They also have the ability, and they're in the midst of acquiring certain additional property, as we find it in the development agreement, that would affect the lot adjacent to this lot three. So this is all in keeping with the development agreement, that the hotel would be where it's going, that this would that this particular lot would be developed. It wasn't called out specifically, but that it would develop, and that they had the right to rezone this, that they would take out the curb cuts when they do acquire the property to the east. So I do think that this is in keeping with the development agreement, and with, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, thank you.
And both of these zoning classifications are acceptable in the UMI area, correct, Greg?
I believe
C2 and the C6.
I believe they are.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Yeah. So the land use, we're good. But I appreciate the dialogue. I think it's always good to have those conversations. Any other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience want to address us regarding this matter? Okay, then I think we're at the point where we need a motion.
Madam Chairwoman, I'll move we approve case 18-073, the rezoning of 977 Utica Ridge Place from C6 to C2 as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, and we'll just make a note that the recommended action number 3 has already been addressed. Mm-hmm. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, same sign? All right, good, thank you. Next is case 18-062. Greg, we have a staff report.
Yes, Madam Chairwoman, the means of access part of this is going to be off of Middle Road and then Competition Drive. There is a private drive adjoining that lot that will also be part of the access. This is Lot 7 in the Betplex Second Edition. And you have an easement, access easement, that is already under construction at this time, the paving of it. And then there's another easement here that permits access coming in. We received an update from what you had in your packet showing a means of access coming in directly from the interstate off of Middle Road. Majority of the traffic will come down this direction and then either go to the pumps or go to the convenience store. There'll be two signs placed on either side here showing that this is not an entry, or means of exit, that you cannot, do not enter signs will be placed so that the traffic will be dispatched in this direction. And you have a stacking area here for the car wash, same thing. Car wash patrons will go out and enter, or exit, I should say, off of this paved easement area. The idea is to try to get the semi-traffic to flow in this direction so that there is a stacking mechanism for use of these diesel pumps here. And it'll somewhat be a habit-forming issue, I guess, at some point. But this is so narrow here, it segregates the traffic, this entry being as narrow as it is, by taking the non-truck traffic and situating it here, getting it into this area, and trying to make this more of an entry that is just for the convenience store and gas. Area here, when we evaluated the parking spaces, we saw what Kelks were done, and it's a combination really of the retail, service station, and then gas pump features. We went through, ran those totals, and they do meet the requirements of our parking ordinance. I know that this can be a pretty big draw, just like the other quick start sites, but to put that point out there, they meet our ordinance. We can't require anything above what the ordinance indicates. So they meet them with 64 parking spaces. This is the way that the exterior of the building will look. And I believe, here we go. All of the requirements for landscaping were met for this, and the petitioner understands too, we do not want to see any landscaping within the easement areas, and they have made sure that the plantings are outside those areas so the easements won't be interfered with in their use. Staff, in reviewing this particular submittal, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Greg, could you enlighten us a little bit on signage? Is there anything included in the plan that would show us what the intentions are for signage here?
John would know that being
sure. If you look at the plan being displayed,
there's a monument sign.
There's a monument sign adjacent to Middle Road. You can see the dotted line indicating that it's at the proper setback. We have discussed this up here. There'll also be some signage at the vehicle entrance going into the convenience store area that we talked about prior to the meeting, showing people that they may not exit that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that was a good traffic control issue for them to do that. They responded.
Is there going to be some type of big tower sign that's visible from the interstate?
What we all refer to as interstate signs, Old Chicago, the ones
right
up there, do not meet our ordinance requirements. They require variances. We have taken a new stance on those in that we really don't want to see those unless they're adjacent to an interstate highway system. And this will not be close enough. We wouldn't support that type of sign at this area here.
Okay.
I've had some initial discussions with them, and they indicated the sign that you currently see at the Bettendorf one is
right.
What they're probably going to be looking at.
Great. No questions? Anyone in the audience? Okay. Then I think we're ready for a motion.
I move that we approve case 18-062, subject to the staff recommendations.
I have a second that. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. All right, next we have case 18-074, our new school.
This is existing elementary school, 18th Street here, Lincoln Road here. Means of entry is still going to be coming off of Lincoln. And then there will be an area here for dropping off and picking up. This is the school right here, essentially this outline. Is the building. And then you have a means of coming through, driving here, picking up the kids, or going in a one-way direction, this direction. And here's another way to cycle in around the parking lot. We can drop kids off at that locale. This is a two-level building. You have delineated right here your 100-year floodplain because you're right near Duck Creek. You have storage for stormwater, and you have a storm purity element in here, water purification element as well. And the water then will be dissipated at this point and then go down to this, in this ravine down to Duck Creek when it's meeting the release requirements. You got playground area right here. And essentially this school will be being built in the process of this one still being in place here, being used until such time as it's no longer needed. And it's being staged in, essentially, when this is completed, the other site will be no longer used and it will be torn down. So give you an idea of how the structure looks, two different floors. And this is an aerial, I guess, manifestation of how the school looks. This is where Duck Creek would be running right here, and the school will be viewing back down through there, down toward the creek from the north side of the school. And this is the view as if you were coming into the parking lot area right here off of Lincoln. And here's some more vantage points showing the school as it looks, as if you were looking from the south. Landscape plan met all of our requirements. The trees are interspersed throughout, and we want essentially the best placement of the trees within the confines of the easements, and also so as not to interfere with the detention area. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Where's most of the staging going to take place? When they redid Grant Wood, they had a large field to set their construction equipment and work through. Where are they going to do it here?
I believe the engineers should be here to...
Jared Engler from Bush Construction. This site is challenging. There's no doubt about it, just from the site constraints we have. So we don't have the big laydown areas that we normally have on most construction projects. A lot of the staging we'll have to do will be kind of first-in-time delivery. We're not going to be able to store lots of materials and things. The exterior walls in this building are precast concrete. So once the foundations are in, the precast will come in semis, and we'll be erecting that right off the trucks. So the structure will go up pretty quick, and the same with the steel deliveries. When we receive those, we'll be putting it up immediately. So We'll just have to work around it. This is the site we've got to deal with, and we'll make it work. So.
What's the schedule then? Is it next summer?
Our first bid packages just came back. So it's the mass excavation, because there's a pretty big hill that we've got to dig out for the gym area, and then get the building pad ready. So we're actually going to start that in the next couple weeks here. And then concrete foundations will follow right behind that. And then precast will be showing up in like February. So yeah, the goal is it's about a 12-month project overall to build.
Other questions?
Is it fair to assume that when the school's completed or during the process, whenever, that there will be a fence or some kind of safety portion put up between the school area and the water retention?
Yeah, there's site fencing that goes around the whole property. I don't know if is it showing that plan, Brett?
I didn't really see it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those areas would be protected.
But I think what I'm hearing, the question is to separate the students' access to the detention area so that if they're on school property, they don't have ready access right. to standing water of a depth. Is that, yeah.
More of a safety.
More from a safety
for the children.
Safety standpoint for the students.
I'm just guessing, but I think that's going to be the last thing done because they're going to need the space.
Brett Fetter, civil engineer with IMEG Corp. There is no fencing around the detention basins at all. The students are segregated on the opposite side of the parking lot from the detention basins. And for various reasons, one, including safety and access to students if they jumped a fence and got into a detention basin. There's probably differing philosophies one way or the other whether you want to fence in the detention basins or not, but we're segregating them and keeping them fenced away from the parking lot on the south or on the east side. The detention basins are on the opposite side of the parking lot on the west side.
So the intention is just that the building and the structure itself, that no children are really to be allowed in that area for any reason. I mean,
that's correct.
What you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, there's no active children area during the school session that are anywhere near the detention basin. Exactly the same at all the rest of the facilities within the district.
Yeah, I was going to add the same thing, Janessa. The recently constructed Grant Wood actually has the playground basically adjacent to it on the rear side.
Right.
The detention basin's on the east property line, and there is no barrier there. And at the same time, the detention basin will be dry other than, you know, generally the 24 hours around a significant rainfall event.
Okay. I have a question about the stacking on the 18th Street side. And with the large loop off of Lincoln Road, is that going to be the primary drop-off and pick-up location?
Yeah, I guess just one point of clarification to the staff report, and that the 18th Street drop-off lane, that's only for authorized vehicles only. That's not intended for parents. In fact, there'll be a sign up that says that specifically for bus drop-off and authorized vehicles. The parent queue and parent pickup is going to be around the parking lot on the south side of the building. And you know, the foresight of the school district in dealing with the neighborhood pocket schools like this is really advantageous for the site to be able to segregate the school bus traffic versus the parent pickup and drop-off. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very good solution that the district has thought of.
Other questions?
Yeah, let's, if we could, go back and talk about this, these basins and how deep they are. I mean, I'm looking at the infiltration basin, and I know you're saying that children shouldn't be around, but I also know kids go wherever they really want to go. And it's like 5 feet deep, from what I can see. And I'm sorry, I can't follow the rest of the contour lines where the detention pond is, but that 5 feet deep, right off the edge, very close to the edge of the driveway there. Doesn't that concern you? I mean, you're saying it's only going to be there for 24 hours. That's long enough to cause a problem.
The actual depth of water in the infiltration basin is only 9 inches. So the infiltration media itself takes up a certain volume that's required for water quality and infiltration. The surface water depth of the infiltration basin is only 9 inches deep.
Okay.
This site is interesting, to say the least, but essentially what we're doing is the existing ravine and hillside that goes down to the creek, we're constructing a step-down infiltration basin so that the contours make it look or appear as though you have a really deep basin there, but in actuality, it's a sloped hillside down to a shallow basin at a much lower level than the sidewalks. The accumulated water depth in the infiltration basin will be 9 inches before overflowing and infiltrating into the detention. And the detention itself is actually all the way down away from the facility by the tree line and the fence line next to the creek. So Okay. It is, I understand what you're seeing, and the contours are slightly deceptive, but the actual volume of the basin itself is minor.
Great. Thank you. That helps.
You're welcome.
Anyone in the audience that would like to address us? Could you step to the podium, please, and share your name with us, please?
My name is Marie Winder, and I am a neighbor to the school. And I'm kind of curious about there's proposal, I understand, to fill in the ravine and move the, what's it called? Viaduct? Culver, thank you, down further. So I'd kind of like to hear how that's going to happen.
Part of the challenges of the site is that, you know, it's a very, there's a lot of change in the terrain from one edge to the other. And if you look at the existing site, you can see the substantial number of retaining walls and changes in elevation from one end of the site to the other. And so in terms of making usable areas and also decreasing the cost of the project, they're looking at the idea of filling in the south side of the ravine next to Lincoln and extending the culvert down to 80 feet, which is all on school district property. School district property is a triangular piece that goes all the way up Lincoln to the west, and so the district is taking advantage of the property that they own to fill in a portion, and that pipe that exists underneath Lincoln in that ravine is going to be extended about 80 feet towards the north, while maintaining about 20 to 30 feet away from any adjacent property owners. Okay.
Thank you. Marie, does that answer your question? Okay, great. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I think it looks like we have a beautiful new school to add to our district, and a lot of challenges to get it to work, but we appreciate your efforts, and I think we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chairwoman, I'll move. We approve case 18-074, the site development plan for 1620 Lincoln Road, as submitted.
I'll second.
Great, thank you. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify with an aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right, great. Okay, John, do you have an update for the commission?
Yes, Madam Chair. On August 21st, the City Council approved the rezoning for Lot 2 of the Springs of Bettendorf First Edition to high-density multifamily residential. They also approved the preliminary plat for Forest Grove Crossing and the final plat for Forest Grove Crossing first section. That was the most western section, if you might recall. Last night, they held the public hearing and approved the first reading for the rezoning of lots 5 and 6 of the Betplex First Edition and 4083 Forest Grove Drive to C3 General Business District. They approved the preliminary plat for Woodlands 3rd, 4th, and 5th Editions and the final plat of Woodlands 3rd Edition. They approved the rezoning of Woodlands 3rd Edition from A1 agricultural to R2 single family. They approved the conditional rezoning of 4268 Ontario Drive. That's just off of 53rd and the Windmiller development, if you'll recall that. Just yesterday, to update you, I received the engineering response submission for the flood zone issue that we discovered in the 2200 block of Kimberly Road. I'm reviewing those documents and I will be forwarding those to the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay, thank you. I will, I don't know if Roy will be watching the meeting, but we'll give him a little shout out if he watches the tape and
very
hope
much
that we see him back next month. And with that, I think we're adjourned.